Always a blessing, right? Well, I tell you today, I'm happier than a dog with two tails. Meaning, as I've said before, I am a blessed man. You're looking at a blessed man. I'm so thankful to the Lord. The Bible says to be thankful for all things, not just some things, but to be thankful for all things. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The old song says it well. While the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I'm a blessed man. Just Friday, we had a long-term church member course, New Heights Baptist Church, who said to me, I'm so thankful for the members of New Heights Baptist Church and all the many prayers they've offered up on our behalf. I walked in, of course, to see Brother James and Miss Sherry at the hospital. James is already sitting up, and it was good to see that because he was in a bad way, a very bad way, just the day before. Yet as I sat there and I heard them both speak, I came to realize, boy, there's still plenty of fire in the eyes of these people. Still plenty of fire in their bosom. Still fight left in the man and in the woman and faith in their heart before God. And it was a good thing to see. I'm telling you, it was a really good thing to see. They were not timid. I went in, frankly, a little bit timid. You never kind of know what you're going to find. You walk in, or is people's faith strong? Is people's faith weak? What is it going to find? I went in just a little bit with a timid heart, perhaps. But I came out with my heart filled with joy and faith in the Lord, strengthened by them. It's somewhat a little bit like a parent going to see an adult child, not knowing what you're going to find. Finally, you get there, and then you're actually refreshed by what you find and see in the lives of your adult children. That's what I felt. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. In the book of Judges, you basically see a downward spiral of Israel, and there were some glimmers, of course, of hope, as it were, but they were kind of thrown away again and again and again, and things get to be worse off. And sometimes we believe it all starts really with the hero, but more often it starts with not so much the hero as we would give credit to that, but in this case, it starts off with the parents of even the most notorious men and heroes in the Bible. Now, this hero is certainly not without his faults. As a matter of fact, he has quite a few faults. I would say he has quite a few serious faults. But he was used by God in his grace. And, of course, the story is of Samson. But it starts with a better man, and more importantly, in this particular story, a better woman in their marriage. Here we see in Judges chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Are you there? All right, and the children of Israel did evil again. Now, I don't want you to miss that word again. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah. Now, by the way, that Zorah, that's a Levitical city. Of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Not deliver, but begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now this wife and a good woman did not make demands of this messenger. You will notice that. She did not make demands of this messenger. And I wrote in right here, God spare us from demanding wives and foolish people who by demands more often destroy than they edify. Don't make demands. Amen. Amen. She's not a demanding woman. She's not a demanding wife. She's a loving wife. Amen. God give us more of those. Verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. In other words, she was content to let him do his thing, and she would do hers. See? But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, so he's praying, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send to my wife, come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. So he agreed and accepted the promise, but he wanted some clarification. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman. Didn't come to the man, came only to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Verse 10. And the woman made haste. As soon as he came, the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, a man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? So there's clarification. It's not a rejection, it's clarification. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, in other words, grape, wine or strong drink, nor eat anything, any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Now, not only what I'm saying now, but that's exactly the same thing that I said prior. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid, a small goat, for thee. So, still, no rejection. No rejection whatsoever. In other words, okay, if that's all we're going to get, that's perfectly fine with us. That's content with the very word of God. How about that? What a lesson. Content with the very word of God. So let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord, at least not at this time. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy saying come to pass, in other words, we believe what you're saying is true and it's going to come to pass, but what is your name that we can bring honor to thee? You may do the honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it a secret? In other words, if I wanted you to have that, I would have told it to you. So Manoah took a kid with the meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. There's a time to talk and there's a time to just stand there and marvel. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven. Now it's talking about the burnt offering. It came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. What a picture. In the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. Without question, a posture of worship. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew, finally here, knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Now this is the pre-incarnate Christ. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shewed all these things, this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. Now, here we find a love story, but it's off the beaten path. It's not a typical love story that you would find, okay? You think about Valentine's, you think about Hannah, you think about all these different kinds of love stories in the Word of God, but you won't necessarily run to this text, so it's kind of off the beaten path, but it is a love story. It is absolutely a love story. Now, here we find it today that people here who have been under the heel of their oppressors, they have been under the heel of their oppressors called the Philistines, and for a generation, for 40 years. Now, some scholars call a generation 40 years, some scholars call it 50 years. I'll eat a hamburger with you either way. But they were tormented by the Philistines. And now it's gone on so long, they're kind of used to being under the boot heel of the Philistines. What's worse than being under the boot heel? Now, being accepting of the boot heel. And that's kind of where they are at this point. So they were comfortable outside of God's will, and that's a dangerous place to be. Comfortable outside of God's will. And that's what happens when we backslide against God. We get away from God. We stay away from God so long, we get kind of comfortable with it. And we're okay with it. But God's never okay with it. God's never okay with us being outside of His will. Amen. That's good preaching. You ought to say amen right there. God's never comfortable, never all right with us being outside of His will. But they were. So God has tried again and again and again and again to reach Israel, to get them to come back to where they should have been. And now He's trying to work through a wife, then the husband, to their son. And the son, by the name, as you know, is Samson. God wants to deliver them. And it was His will that they be delivered. Yet they resisted again and again and again and again. And we see this in the very first verse. So look at verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. That's why you can't miss it. Again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So this cycle had happened again and again and again. Obviously, the people of God can resist the will of God, and they did. They did. Now, in that holy effort, and it's a holy effort every time God seeks to restore. Amen? That's a holy effort. We find the story of this man and his wife living in a city where the Levites lived, and they're a woman, a wife, a good woman, a God-fearing woman who had been long without having a child and begged God to give her a child. She was barren, but God had a plan. And God had a plan to use her and to use this man to bring about a boy. And that boy would be raised by God to do great and mighty things. The Lord Himself came down for a visit and gave her one message. Just one message. Just one message. Again and again. If you read the passage carefully, nothing really in the message changes. The husband wants clarification, but God came down, okay, I honor the prayer. But He comes down the second time. But He gives the same message again. How about that? God's word doesn't change. God's message is not going to change. It's short and sweet. In other words, just do what I've told you to do. And beware that you do it. Amen? Beware that you do it. Look at verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. Now sometimes the Lord says something to us and we might just wonder, well, I kind of already knew that one, Lord. You know, she's already been praying about that. All right? But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, what's the word? Beware. Beware. Beware, I pray thee, drink not wine or strong drink, or eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, several things I want you to see. I don't have three in a poem. I have about six, I guess. Number one, both the wife and the husband loved and responded well to the Lord. They're already doing so, right? They're already good believers. They're already faithfully following the Word of God. So the Lord came down to the wife, spoke to her alone, and you'll notice that the woman does not laugh at the messenger of God. You don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you know, I know I've been praying all about that all along, but you just don't know everything that I know. She didn't have any of that. None of that. She instantly believed the messenger of God. In fact, there's no mention at all in the whole text here of this chapter of any doubt whatsoever on the part of the woman or her husband. No doubt whatsoever. They're already fine. We'd call it fine, good Christian people. They are already God-fearing people, and they believe the very word of God. They were standing, you could say, on the promises of God. Number two, they had a healthy trust in the Lord, and he had a very healthy trust in his wife. Well, that's interesting. A healthy trust in the Lord and a healthy trust in his wife. He never, listen, Manoah never once doubted what his wife said or what his wife represented as coming from the man that they first saw as a man, and then later they saw him as the angel of the Lord. But he never doubted his wife's word. Never did. Now, many a man would have said, yea, hath God said? Are you sure you got that right, sweetie? Are you sure about that? You know, you have exaggerated more than once in your life. There have been more than once in our life and in our marriage you have deceived me. Come on. I'm not so sure I can trust your word. Matter of fact, why don't you go tell that messenger to come back and see me? Amen or oh me. Now come on, it's not time to pray. All right. Now here, you don't have any of that. You have a man, the messenger comes to his wife. She comes, tells him. He believes every word. He not only trusts God, but he trusts his wife. Now that's the beginning of a love story. But this couple, all that stuff that we would normally find in relationships of often failing in our relationships, they have nothing to do with that in this God-fearing couple. He has, of course, Manoah has a great trust in his wife. And I say God bless them both for their goodness. Because you never know when times like this are going to come. And if you don't have that kind of trust and holy relationship with your God and with one another, things are not going to go as well as they do in this story. You have to build up your lives first and be ready for God to move a great work in your life. Amen. Now, I thought about this with all the interaction of human beings that we go through in life. And what they did in ancient times was not near as mobile as we are today in our culture. Flight and all that. So you add to this context all today's temptations and travels of movements, not only locally, but nationally, even internationally, of husbands and wives today. I mean, we have people that every year, they're not only all over the United States, they're out of the United States. Out of the United States. That didn't happen so much back here, see? That didn't happen so much back here. So I'm thinking about adding all of this dynamic to the travels and movements of people today, husbands and wives today, and how much more is it necessary for husbands and wives to have this holy trust into God and holy trust of one another. How about that? How about that? Now, many a man has proven himself untrustworthy. And many a woman have proven themselves likewise to be untrustworthy. But not this couple. Not her. And not him. And they were blessed because of it. They were blessed. We just read through this like this is normal. And I would say this is not normal at all. It's blessed, you see, because of their unusual faithfulness and loyalty to God and instruction of God's word. How it just works out. And we just read right through it and say, oh, how lovely, how lovely, how lovely. Yeah, but often it isn't usually so lovely. Because there's been this violation and that violation and this violation, you see. But this couple, boy, he got the right ones, didn't he? He got the right ones. He got the right ones. Of course, God always gets the right ones. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, because so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of, not his life, her life. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters had done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. We see here in the text, though the angel of the Lord delivered the message first to the wife, Manoah, her husband, never doubted his wife's word. Now I'm here to tell you, that's a fine thing. And it's not as common as you might think. It is not as common. It should be, shouldn't it? It should be. But it is not as common as you might think. I say it's a fine and a wonderful foundational healthy thing for love and marriage. Love and marriage. You want some help? Right here's some help. Right out of the book. Now listen. A marriage that's built on lies and deception is filled with cracks, and a divided house, the Bible says, will not stand. It will not stand. Number three. The command given and the command followed. Verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. In other words, from the womb all the way through, all of his life, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, Manoah, her husband, wanted some clarification and praise to the Lord about it. Matter of fact, if you have not, you need information, you want to ask God of something, well, pray and ask. John Arai said, prayer is asking. It's certainly a proper thing to do, to pray and ask God. So he prays to God and asks for this. And God agrees to honor his prayer. And he comes not to Manoah, but he goes to the wife again. The testing of a man. Hey, Lord, I'm over here, Lord. What's the matter with me, you know? Well, Manoah, I'm just going to talk to your wife over here. And then you can get it from her. How about that? Well, obviously, Manoah's not a proud man. Come on. He's not a proud man. He's willing, if the messenger of God wants to speak to the wife, let him speak to the wife. God be praised, right? Well, I'm the man of my house. I'm the king of my castle. No, what you are is a brute. You're a brute. Huh. So he wants clarification. So the angel of the Lord, of course, the man, comes to the wife again alone. What does she do? Well, I'm just going to sit here and my husband, he can just suffer over there for a while. Well, she's not that type of woman. She's not that type of wife. She's a wife that is always interested in honoring her husband, and it was her husband who wanted the additional clarification. There's some good things here. There are really good things here. She could have been a smart-mouthed woman. Driving her husband away, and that's what happens when you're a smart-mouthed woman. You drive your husband away. For the record, you drive your husband away from you. But she doesn't do that. She reverences her husband. She honors her husband. She wanted to help meet his concern or his needs. I think I read that somewhere in the book. I will give thee a help meet. Didn't I read that? Didn't I read that somewhere? I think I did. I'm pretty sure that I did. I'd about wager that I did. So she wants to meet his needs. What a good wife. I'm saying, what a good wife. This is a fine, fine woman. And so she rushes off to do what? Go shopping for 3 hours, 4 hours? No, she rushes off to go get her husband. There's not even a conversation. He appears, this angel appears, and man, she just rushes off to go get her husband because my husband, he wants to speak to you. My husband, he wants to speak to you. My husband. You see how she's honoring her husband? So she rushes off and brings him back. And then the story picks up, and you'll notice the good husband is going back to the location of where the angel appeared in the field, where the angel appeared to the wife alone as she was sitting in the field. Now, the husband, a God-fearing man, is following his wife, right? It's in the book. He's following his wife, having a holy trust in her. It's a blessed thing when a man can follow his wife when she understands something and she has had some occasion that he did not have. And she's seeing that he's aided by her life. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Listen, these are excellent building blocks for a healthy marriage and a healthy love. Look at verse 11. And Manoah arose and went after his wife. She was leading the way. She's the one that knows where it was all going down, right? And so now he's following her and came to the man. Well, that's what he wanted. He wanted to go with her. She knew that. So she went immediately and got her husband and brought him back to the angel of the Lord and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. In other words, I fully submit. I'm fully submitting to the words that you've declared. So it's not a challenge. It is not a challenge. There's no doubt here. There's no lack of submission from Manoah to the words of Almighty God. None of it whatsoever. Then he says, let the words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? So it's clarification. Clarification. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, he didn't answer his particulars. He basically says, I've already said enough. I've already said enough. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. I've already said my piece. And Manoah, that's all you're going to get. I've already said my piece, and that's all you're going to get. Now listen, I know many of you engineers, and you raise engineering children, and your engineering children think too much, and they think so hard, they lose sight of the simple, basic things of Almighty God. I've already said enough. If I wanted you to know more, I would have told you. Faith believes the simple word of God. And does it make great demands of God to fill me in on all the missing pieces, lest I believe, disbelieve you? Oh, ye of little faith, right? Come on now. Oh, ye of little faith. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. Well, that's loaded up. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink. This is the vow. Nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. So notice the angel sticks to the same command again and again and again. Nothing left out, nothing changed. Word of God doesn't change. God of the Word doesn't change. The message here doesn't change. It's serious. And it is detailed enough. The Word of God is serious and it is detailed enough. If God wanted us to know every single thing that happened in eternity past, He would have told us. But He didn't tell us. But He told us enough. And if you have faith in your heart and you're a God-fearing person, you will be okay with what God has said. You follow me? We're not here to critique God. God's here rather to critique us. So basically, your way is to keep the Nazirite vow while you're pregnant and honor God, and the one that God's going to give you to help start to deliver Israel with his word. Notice number four. Their kindness. Manoah and his wife, their kindness on display towards this messenger, special messenger of God. Manoah and his wife were kind people. God-fearing people are kind people. They're kind towards their fellow man, and especially they of the household of faith. They're kind towards them. Now this wasn't, now that the messenger of God has come, we'll start being kind. No, they were already kind. This is not out of the ordinary. This is just building on what was already there, just like building on their already good response to God in a good home and a good marriage. But the expression of kindness was already present. Look at verse 15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee. Very kind, very courteous, right? I pray thee. Would you mind, please? If it be all right with you. We would just love it if you would, you know, all those good southern charm things, you know, we throw in there. Let us detain thee. Would you mind just staying with us a little while? Boy, we'd sure love to feed you. We'd hate to see you go away on an empty stomach, you know. Isn't that sweet? We got some good sweet tea. Oh, you'll love it. You'll love my wife. She makes the best. She's the best cook in all the region. I mean, you'll be happy you stayed. You'll be happy you stayed. Wouldn't you like to stay? We'd love to have you stay. We'd love to have you stay. Don't say no. Please don't say no. How about that? Yeah, that's what this is. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready. Let us just give us a little time. Give us a little time. And we'll make ready a kid, a young goat, the tender, the most tender, you know. One time, years ago, I shot a little pig about like that. And Cobra said, that's just a baby. I said, oh, but it's going to be tender and going to be so good. You just won't believe how good it is. I mean, it's the best. I know you animal rights, you're going crazy. But I'm telling you, you want tender, go young. Go young, go young. And he says, we want to prepare for you. This kid, this young kid, for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. But if thou wilt offer a burnt offering from that kid, from that animal, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy saying come to pass, in other words, we fully expect it to come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So they desired. They desired both of them that he would stay, and they would slaughter this young animal for a fine meal for this messenger. And he responded, if you want to bless me, I will not eat this, but if you want to honor me, you want to honor God, offer a burnt offering of this best that you are wanting to make for me. Good stuff there. If you want to do something for God, for all that God has done for you, offer this up. And may I offer you today, if you want to offer up unto God something because God's been so good to you, offer up your life as a living sacrifice unto God. You want to do something kind? Offer your life as a living sacrifice unto God. Paul spoke about this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You want to honor God because God's been so good to you? Offer up your life a living sacrifice. Amen. A living sacrifice unto your God. Christians, live a life pleasing unto the Lord. Live a marriage that is pleasing unto the Lord. Live a business that is pleasing unto the Lord. Live a witness that is pleasing unto the Lord. Living always in light of the fear of God and the keeping of God's holy word. Or beware. It's right here. Beware. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Number 5, the ultimate realization, the light bulb finally comes on of who has come for a visit. Who indeed has come for a visit? And then, of course, because of who it was, worship takes place. Notice now, Manoah asked his name, and that wasn't given. Verse 17, Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy saying come to pass, we shall do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it a secret? So Manoah took a kid with it. Didn't argue. Okay, fine. So Manoah took a kid with the meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Just how? I don't know, nor do you. But I believe every bit of it. I believe every bit of it. He ascended, the Bible says, ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on. So they first did this. And then they fell flat on their face. And then what it says? And fell on their faces to the ground. The wife, he and his wife looked on it. Where is it going? Is the flames not going down? No. They're going up, right? They're going up. So what do? They first look up and then they look down. Boy, there's another message right there. We first look up to the God of heaven. And then we look up to Him and then our knees buckle and we go down in worship to the Almighty. Amen. Praise God for this family. Praise God for this husband and wife. God-fearing people. God-fearing people. Boy, we need a lot more of those. A lot more of those. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. It was enough. The book is closed, and it is enough. It is enough. No more appeared to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Now, not just an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die." You don't say that if it's just an angel, because we have what? Seen God. We've seen God. Well, he knew enough for the book. Why? Because he's a God-fearing man. He's a believer. No man has seen God, right? We're not going to live. So Manoah had good reason to believe that he would die. And they would die. But here again, his good wife helped him. Yeah. Helped him. Didn't hurt him. Come on now. Didn't hurt him. She helped him. She didn't rub it in and say, "You're so dumb. You're such a fool. You're such an idiot." In other words, you're so unlovely, unworthy, unwanted. Come on. She didn't do that. She didn't do that. She helped him. She honored him and helped him. Ladies, are you listening? She honored him and she helped him. I believe there is something about the wife being a helper in the Bible. She helped him understand something that he was missing. Men, it's okay to miss some things. And wives, it's okay to help your husband with something he's obviously missing. But the way you help him should be honoring to him, not dishonoring to him or dishonoring to your God. I see some of you elder ladies shaking your head. You are to help him, but not in a way that dishonors him and his God. Help him honorably in the Lord. And she understands the difference between these two. And that's exactly what she does. She helps him to understand. The message that is conveyed is obviously not a death sentence. So maybe he's thinking about this when he should have been thinking about that, but she is just a loving help, a helpmeet to her husband. Just the opposite. He wants us to train up what? This angel of the Lord, he wants us to train up this child for a job that he has for him. And if he wants us to do that, this is obviously not a death sentence. Sweetheart, you know, see? Sweetie pie, honey bun, sugar plum. You with me? This is the fine couple. They are a great model. Unfortunately, Samson's not. Now, he's in Hebrews 11. All right, thank God for his grace. But better for us to model our lives after Samson's mom and dad than after Samson. I'm telling you, it's better. And they're the beginning of his good life. So number six, I want you to see the training of Samson. The training of Samson. Look at verse 24. And the woman bare a son. Notice it is women who bear children. Hello. Some people need a little help with that. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. The training of a child is first the priority of parents. The training of a child is first the priority, now listen, of parents. The training of a child is not the first priority of the church. The training of a child is not the first priority of a school system. Be it a private school or a public school, it is not the priority. That's not God's order. Listen now, that's not God's order. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So you can't hand off a baton if you don't have it already in your possession. "And thou, parents, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You're to be the primary educators of your children. Amen. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Proverbs 22:6. Get this, over in 2 Timothy, Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in regard, of course, to Timothy. In verse 14 and 15, he says, "But continue thou," in other words, you're a young man now, "but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." A recent investigation into the educational system of the United States found that 1 out of 3 eighth graders cannot read as they should right here in the United States of America. Now listen to me. We like to get up on our high horse and we want to say, "Well, that's the teacher's fault. No, it's not primarily the teacher's fault. It's mom and dad's fault. Failed in your own personal responsibilities before God. It's an indictment on the parents of the children. Already, at least to some degree, and you correct me, you educators, if I'm wrong, children ought to already be able to read a little bit even before they get to elementary school. Amen. The most important thing anyone could ever be taught to read and to study is this book. And if they can't read, they can't read this book. And if they can't read, they can't study to show themselves approved unto God. Whose responsibility is that? That was Manoah and his wife's responsibility. And they did it. The Bible goes on, if you keep reading in these chapters back in our text, you'll see that Samson judged Israel for, I'm pretty sure it was 20 years. Is that right? 20 years. You don't judge a people with, you know, being a dummy. Okay? He's got to be literate. And he was. Timothy studied the Scripture. He read and he studied the Scripture. Now, why in the world would he ever do that? "And that from a child that's known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So you want good things to come, teach your children to read. Teach them to study the Word of God. Now listen. Manoah and his wife. Now the rabbis, they claim that they think they know what her name was. I don't know if they do. I don't know if they don't. Their guess is as good as anybody else's, right? I mean, nobody knows. If God wanted us to know her name, it would have been right here. But it's not. But I say, God bless her. What a woman. What a woman. What a woman. They gave Manoah and his wife probably better than Manoah. Manoah was pretty good. But I think she was even a little bit better. Not a bad combination. I said, not a bad combination. They gave Samson in the Lord all that he needed to respond to God faithfully all of his days. In other words, they gave him everything he needed to be successful in the Lord, in all that God was going to command and put on Samson. They gave him everything needed. But we know, boy, we only kind of look at Samson. We look at the good parts, you know. And we just, you know, I mean, he went into a harlot. I mean, you know, this is not a model that you want for your child. You didn't know that. Well, maybe you need to go read the whole story. It's not good. It's not good. And yet, he had everything that he needed to be successful in the Lord. Now, when we have done that as parents, mom and dad, when we have done that, we've met our responsibilities before God. From that day forward, they're on their own and they're responsible alone to God. A lot of parents are eating guilt on a weekly basis that they have no business of eating. No, it's false guilt. If you've done what you should have done, your hands are washed of that matter. And their sin is on their head, not on yours. Not on yours. We cannot live the life of our children. Listen, here you have perfect God, perfect parent in the garden. What happened to Adam and Eve? So, Manoah and his wife, they did their job. Samson did not. He did part, but he failed. He failed. Parents, do your job. Beware that you do your job. Beware of your marriage. Make sure your marriage is built on the everlasting Word of God. Be kind to one another. Be a good helpmeet. Be a good follower of God and follower and trustworthy of one another. Build on that good foundation. But beware, lest you fail. Now that would be on you. But if we don't fail and we do our best and we've done our thing, Paul said, I fought the fight, I've kept the fight, right? I've done that. The rest is on you guys. There comes a time when we may weep, yes, but we're not responsible. They are. Amen, thank you. They are. They're now responsible for that. Listen, I know it would break your heart. I know it does. But you're not responsible to God for that. They're now responsible to God for that. You've done your part. And you can go and put your head on your pillow at night and knowing all is well. I've done my part. Because you can't, listen, these are fine people, but they couldn't guarantee everything. I mean, first thing he does, he wants to run off and he wants to go in to a woman that he shouldn't be going in to the first place. That's the first thing you want to do. Oh, she's caught my eye. I like her. I like her. I like her. Well, what's the matter with all of the Jewish girls? Come on. What's the matter with all these over here? That's the first thing you see of this man called Samson. He's off running downhill. What's the matter with all these Jewish girls? You know, look at that one over there. See how pretty her eyes are? Look at the beautiful hair. Look at her. You know, that one's a little cross-eyed, but she looks good, you know. What's the matter with our girls? What's the matter with our kind? How many parents have had to try to make that same argument to their own wayward children? What's the matter with a fellow Christian? Why can't you marry a fellow Christian? Why can't you date a fellow Christian? Why can't you date and marry someone who's like faith with our family? Amen or oh me. What's the matter with our kind? What's the matter with our kind? There are pretty ones in our bunch too. They can cook in our bunch too. Amen. What's the matter with our kind? They gave Samson in the Lord all that he needed to be responsible to God and be successful. When there's love in our hearts and in our homes, we will respond to God's work like this fine couple did. And we'll commit to it all the days of our life. So let me go back and kind of refresh here. Love and respond well to God and His Word. My admonition to you, love and respond well to God and His Word. Number two, have a trusting and happy relationship as husband and wife before God. Work on that. Number three, follow the commands of the Lord carefully. They're important. Be serious about it. Think about it and do it. Number four, show Christian kindness along life's journey, especially to your husband and wife, and they of the household of faith. Be kind. Number five. Realize it is God that we are serving, not just our fellow man. It's God that we're serving, ultimately. And then lastly, understand the great importance of training up your own dear children as unto the Lord. After all, they're given by Him. They are not yours. They're on loan by God. Let's stand for prayer.